So good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And welcome to Living Beyond Limits and our in-person service today. I'm Reverend Jennifer Speer, and we are a part of Centers for Spiritual Living, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today for the service. And for those of you who are joining us online, we welcome you also, and we're glad that you're joining us online. And so we're going to begin our service today by standing and singing, and Margaret's going to lead us in...
O light.
O light. And the words are up here on the screen.
Sorry, I'm mesmerized by your shoes. Okay.
O light, come.
Oh, we don't have the light. Well, I'll sing it once, and then you'll join me.
O light, come.
Know too, just for one more week, we're going to continue with the mask mandate, even though it's been dropped, and just to know that it is really an act of love for each other and caring for each other. And as the numbers drop, we're not in person next week, and I think as the numbers continue to drop the week after, then masks will be optional. But I appreciate you wearing your masks today. Thank you for that. And so we're going to begin our service today by reading our mission statement. It's on the front of your bulletin, if you'd like to join me in that. It says, we are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. Through the realization of this inner presence of love and peace, we give way to the evolutionary impulse of the divine and become a beneficial presence in the world. And so that is what we are up to here at Living Beyond Limits, is we are giving ourselves the opportunity through the words that are spoken and the readings that are done and the music that is sung and actually just being in the company of each other to remember that, yes, indeed, that divine presence lives right within our hearts, that it is our own divine essence, that we come from that one and we come to express that one. We come here on planet Earth to express love and peace and goodness and wisdom. And what happens is as we recognize that that presence is innate to our own beingness, that it is absolutely a part of who we are, that then when we're out in the world and the world is not reflecting back to us peace or love, we can be a beneficial presence because we can tap into that within us and bring peace into a situation that calls for peace, or to bring love into a situation that is not loving. And so as we do that, we participate in our own spiritual evolution and unfolding. But because we are connected to everyone and everything, part of this collective consciousness of humanity, we affect the whole. Because that spreads out and affects everything around us, which in turn affects everything around them. And that is how one of the ways that we act as a beneficial presence in this world, as we give way to the presence of the divine. And so I thank each and every single one of you for answering the call of your own spirit to be walking this path, to be bringing the presence of spirit and love and peace and goodness into this world in a way that is healing to everyone. Thank you for that. And so on podium with me this morning is our practitioner, David Conant. He's going to come up and lead us in an evocation as we begin to evoke an awareness of the presence of spirit that is always right where we are, and do a contemplative reading for us. And Margaret Owens, prior to that, is going to lead us singing the prayer chant, We Are. The words will be up here on the screen. And so I invite you to just kind of begin to settle into yourself, into that place that is not touched by what happens in this world, but the place that is just deep within you, that is your own beingness. That place where you discover the peace and the love.
As I become centered in the place where I know I am one with the light and love that is pure spirit, it is this spiritual presence that flows into my life. It is my divine companion. This is also true for each one of us. While we are each a unique example of what spirit can look like, we all share the gifts of the heart and the soul. Spirit also takes the shape of the forests, of all of nature, and everything else. That includes living beyond limits. This living spirit flows through Living Beyond Limits, through Reverend Jennifer, into this service, and into our lives. Just knowing this reality tunes us into our sacred nature and the sacred nature of all of life. I bless Reverend Jennifer, and I know her talk today will be beneficial to each one of us in our own way. I bless Margaret. I bless Ray. I bless everyone here and everyone else. I bless all spiritual paths. I bless this facility, and I bless this service. And so it is. Good morning.
Good morning.
My reading today is from Unlimited Visibility by Stephanie Sorensen. As we practice the science of mind in our day-to-day lives, and we learn more about ourselves, who we are, and why we are here, we take charge of life by prayer and by seeking divine inspiration. There is nothing we cannot know or do or create in our life as a being of God. But we must cultivate an attitude of spiritual confidence, and we must experience ourselves as the unlimited, creative being of spirit that we are. And as we acknowledge our oneness with God, we do not look to the world as the source of our joy and peace. We look within to the eternal wellspring of life. The science of mind can also lead us to the mystical experience of total immersion in spirit. As we meditate and think upon the vastness of the inner life, we find a self far beyond our everyday experience. And we no longer feel that spirit is moving through us, because there is no sense of a separate person through which spirit must move. All boundaries end when one experiences God as all, realizes life is one, and the I transcends the personal and becomes the one with the all. God is the infinite spirit, the one infinite person within whom all people live. There is one life behind all that lives, one spirit behind all that moves, one being behind all that is, was, or ever will be. The spirit of unity descends into our minds as we listen and contemplate and meditate upon the goodness and allness of all life. And so it is.
So I actually have been a part of Centers for Spiritual Living since 1990. And when I first began, there was a really popular slogan that was used a lot that said, "There is a power for good in the universe, and I can use it." And that is absolutely true. There is a power for good in this universe, and there is a law of mind, and by moving our thinking and our feeling to be in alignment with that power for good, we draw more good into our lives. And that might look like a job or a relationship or greater health or more money or a new home. And as Centers for Spiritual Living has continued to evolve and grow as an organization over these years, we have shifted our focus somewhat to move from "there is a power for good in the universe and I can use it" to "there is a power for good in the universe and it can use me." And it makes me so grateful that we have evolved, and it speaks so much to my heart and to my soul. And I love that aspect of this philosophy. Even so much as we have that song that we sing, "Use me, O God, I stand for you as you show me all that I must do." You know, that's really a part of our culture. While at the same time being able to manifest physical or material good in your life is important if you don't have enough of whatever that is. So it's important and it's valuable, but personally, I don't think it's the ultimate goal of life. And I don't think that it is the most soul-satisfying or fulfilling thing that we can do in our lives. And therefore, my focus as a minister of Centers for Spiritual Living is much more about "there is a power for good in the universe and it can use me." That's what I love to talk about and what I love to focus on. And so in light of that, today we are continuing to participate in the Season for Nonviolence, all about creating a culture of nonviolence and peace, both within ourselves and within the world. And here we do find ourselves in the midst of war. Here we find ourselves in the midst of war that is happening in the Ukraine, and it's heartbreaking to me. And we find ourselves also in the midst of great divisions in this country, and that is heartbreaking to me. And yet, one of the powerful things that we have is prayer. Prayer to shift and create an opening for something new to come into this world, for something better to come into this world. That is one powerful tool that we have to assist or help in what's going on between the Ukraine and Russia. For an end to that, a quick and speedy end to that conflict, and for the well-being of the people that live there. And so what I would like you to do right now is to join me in a prayer. And so we take our attention right now and focus on the truth, that that presence of the infinite one, that is a presence of love and a presence of peace and a presence of good, the absolute intelligence of the cosmos, wisdom, that it is not only right here where we are, not only is it right here at the center of our beingness, but that that one presence and that one power and that one life and that one good is everywhere present. And that right now, it is absolutely present in the Ukraine. It is absolutely present within Putin. It is absolutely present within Zelensky. And that right now, that power, that one life, that one love, that presence of peace is calling their names and calling their hearts. That it is speaking to both of them as solution. For I know that in God there is all solution, already present, already available. And being that both of these men are none other than that presence in form, I know that the allness of God is right where they are. There's nothing missing or lacking. There's no delay or hindrance, but that it is the thing right now that leads and guides them. I speak this word about everyone who is acting as a soldier, that there is a divine protection that is wrapping itself around them. A word for all of the people that live there, that there is a divine protector that leads and guides them and keeps them safe. And I know that that one God that is called by many names and that is present in many forms, right now I call peace. That the presence of peace is bigger than anything that is unlike it. The presence of love is bigger than anything that is unlike it. And that is what is unfolding itself right now. Here, abroad, in the Ukraine, in Russia, love and peace. For love is at the center of everyone and everything. And it is the guiding principle of all. I speak this word about oneness and unity, knowing that this is the truth of each of us as humanity. And so I claim and know right now that our shift in consciousness is creating an opening for that to unfold itself. And so we keep our eyes on that infinite power of love, knowing that it is active and present, bountiful, and acting now. And for that, I give thanks. And I say, and so it is. Thank you. And so we have that same tool of prayer to use in our country for the division and the divisiveness that is going on. And we also have other tools that we can use for our country, for our lives, for what's happening around us. Because I know that all of us, we want and we would love to see an end to the divisions in this country. We would love to see an end to the divisiveness of people towards people who see things differently than them or hold different belief systems than they do. We want to live in peace and in harmony and in unity with each other. Remember when we used to live in unity with each other, regardless of our beliefs, regardless of how we saw things? So I think the real problem isn't that we have differences of opinion. I think the real problem is that we name the people who see things differently than we do, who hold a different belief system, we see them as other, and we see them as the enemy. That's what the real problem is. Ken Wilber, who was a philosopher and author, said, "Heaven is not, as pop religion would have it, a state of all positives and no negatives, but of realizing no opposites and not two-ness. At least according to the Gospel of St. Thomas, Jesus said, when you make the two one, when you make the inner as the outer and the outer as the inner and the above as the below, and when you make the male and the female into a single one, then you shall enter the kingdom." When there are no opposites, when there is no two-ness, when there is no otherness, that's how we create the kingdom of heaven. We enter the kingdom, which is a kingdom of consciousness, when there is no separation, when there is no us versus them, when there is no other, but instead where we realize that we are all part of the one, that we are all part of that one infinite presence of love, when we realize that we are all aspects of that one, individualized expressions of that one. We are only separate at the surface. Only at the surface differences are we separate. And Roger Teal, who is a minister of Mile High Church, reminds us, all life forms are the one life, expressing as that being. The variety and multiplicity of creation is joined at the deepest level in an eternal and indestructible oneness. That's the part we forget, our indestructible and eternal oneness. That what I do to you, I do to me. What I do to you, I do to the whole, because everything is connected to everything else. It's kind of like peeing in a pool. It doesn't just stay where you are, it goes everywhere. So we must look beyond the surface so that we see past the differences. And when we look below the surface, those differences kind of fall to the wayside. They fall to the background. They cease to take up our entire focus. And when we do that, as the Sanskrit phrase says, I can see myself in all things and in all people. We are all part of the one. And what we see is reflected back to us. When I see through the eyes of animosity or hatred or otherness, that's what comes back to me. When I see through the eyes of love and oneness, that is what comes back to me. So the inspiration for my talk today is I have started reading Father Gregory Boyle's latest book that is called The Whole Language, which is fabulous. If you don't know Father Gregory Boyle, he is a priest that works in one of the most gang-infested areas of Los Angeles, and he works with ex-gang members and people who have recently been released from prison. He assists them in finding employment, and he has created lots of opportunities for employment, assists them with education, and really assists them in so many ways in making their life better. And so Gregory Boyle, Father Gregory Boyle said, this was the piece that inspired this talk today. He said, setting people apart, setting parts of ourselves apart, all of this keeps us from locating the sacred in everything. Setting others apart, I'll read it again. Setting people apart, setting parts of ourselves apart, all of this keeps us from locating the sacred in everything. When we see people as other, we can't see the sacred within them. We can't see their godliness. We can't see their goodness. Seeing the sacred in everyone and seeing the sacredness of everyone allows those differences to fall to the background. It ceases to be our entire focus. And in turn, we experience connection, and we experience that truth that we are all connected and part of this one life. And so the title of my talk today is In the Eye of the Beholder, because it's all how we see things. I'm talking about when we witness the sacred in everyone and in everything, when we come from a consciousness of oneness, we automatically become a place for healing to happen. When we witness the sacred in everyone and come from a place of oneness, we become a place where wholeness has the ability to express itself, both within us and within the person that we are with. We become a place that enables each of us to come home to ourselves, where we each then are able to bring our best selves forward. And as we do that, we create the world that we want to live in. And so if you've ever read anything by Gregory Boyle, you know that he heals lives. It's just amazing. And he does that exactly by witnessing the sacred in everyone. He does that by recognizing the sacred and the good within people that he works with, and especially within people who can't see that for themselves. People who can't see the sacred within them, who can't see the good within them. And by witnessing that, he creates a space for exactly that thing to come forward and be expressed in the world. The reason those people haven't been able to be that place of good in the world is because nobody has reflected that back to them in their lives, especially as children. And that is exactly what he reflects back like a mirror. This is who you are and how I see you. As he sees the sacred and the goodness in those people, it enables that to come forward. It enables them to come home to themselves. It enables them to find their own goodness and to give birth to their best selves. And so I'd like to share a short story that I liked out of this in this reading this week by Gregory Boyle. He says, I got a text from a homie, Ernie, the other day. It was a video of him cutting the umbilical cord of his newborn son. After the clip ended, both clips, he wrote, and now, ... life begins. And for those of you who debate such things, apparently life begins when a homie cuts the umbilical cord. The infinite, present and accounted for. When he relayed the moment to me in person days later, Ernie was exhilarated. I was Tom Brady in the huddle. And then he came out. He told me his wife drove him to the hospital. She told him, I'm a better driver than you are. He said to her, kind of stealing my thunder here. I asked him if he got in the back seat and moaned all the way to the hospital. Quote, my lady barrels into the ER and then says to the nurse, my husband will be needing a wheelchair, please. He told me how he loves his wife. But G, that's what he calls him, G. But G, it's not about finding the right person. It's about being the right person. It's about being the right person. And so you know what? It's not really about what shows up in our lives. It's about how we show up in relationship to what shows up in our lives. So do you show up as love? Do you show up as peace? Do you show up as a place for healing? Do you show up as a witness to oneness? Martin Luther King said, love is the only force capable of turning an enemy into a friend. And so one of the inserts that you have has some questions on it. And if you don't have an insert or if you don't have a pen, raise your hand. And so I invite you just to turn within for a moment. Finding that place within where you come home to your own self, where you come home to your own spirit, where you come home to that living spirit that is your own divine essence. This is the place where the wisdom of the cosmos resides, the place where you discover your own wholeness and your own enoughness and your own goodness. For this is the place you touch yourself as an incarnation of that one presence and spirit. And so I ask you to ask yourself, your capital S self, in what ways can I create greater unity? In what ways can I create greater unity? And when you're ready to go ahead and write that down. And then when you're done, go ahead and close your eyes again. and asking that same place of wisdom within you, how do I contribute to divisiveness? What is it that I do or think or say or feel or whatever? What is it that I do that contributes to divisiveness? And to go ahead and write that down. And then to close your eyes once more. Touching that all-knowing place within yourself. And to ask, how can I be part of the solution to divisiveness in this country? How can I be part of the solution of the divisiveness that we find in this country? And to go ahead and write that down. And now what I'd like you to do is to find someone near you and share whatever part of that you feel comfortable sharing. And so one of the answers that I got... One of the answers that I got to that question, in what way can I create greater unity, is to see everyone as part of my family and to see everyone as my brothers and sisters. And then it occurred to me, you know what? You fight with your brothers and sisters, and you still love each other, no matter what. And so my invitation this week to you is to do just that. Whatever those answers were that you came up with, to do just that. And to pray to actually keep that thing at the forefront of your consciousness and your awareness so that you might do that. To have faith in humanity, to have faith in yourself, to have faith in God, to look for the sacred, and witness the sacred in everyone. To use Father Boyle as an example of what that looks like, to see the goodness, to see the sacred, so that in turn you create a space for it to come out into this world. Heal the places within you where there is an us and a them. Because you know what? There's only us. That's really all it is. There's only us. And every week I've been reading things about the season for nonviolence. There's a list of things to do. And one of the things to do, I'm going to give you a physical thing to do this week, if you will. It says to perform one small loving act toward an adversary. Perform one small loving act towards an adversary and see what happens. See what happens between you. See what happens inside of you. Use that as an experiment. And to see the humanity that's underneath all of it. And to see that God is at the center of all of it. And as you do that, we will all be creating a culture of unity. And a culture of love. And a culture of peace. And so blessings to every single one of you on this path that you are walking. This path of awakening to the divine within you. To the divine within everything, and to that presence that is everywhere and in everything. Blessings to you. And so I invite you again to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so once again, I recognize how blessed we are to be living these lives in God. To know that we are being supported and carried and lifted by that infinite one, that infinite love. To knowing that that which we have come from is that which we come as. That we are here today as conduits for that presence to make itself known in this world in a more beautiful and profound and loving way. That we have come from love, and we are here to love. That is what we've come here for. And so today, we each and every one of us answer the call of our own heart and of our own soul to be a place for healing, to be a place where wholeness can reveal itself, where it can be experienced and it can be expressed. I recognize that no matter what is going on around us, and no matter what is going on in our lives or in this world, that God is bigger than that. And that as we listen within, as we look for the good and open ourselves to the solution, as we listen to the wisdom of our own intuition and our own heart's call, that we are guided into perfect action, into perfect places, doing whatever it is that needs to be done. And so I bless each and every single one of us and every one of our paths. I bless each and every single person in this world, recognizing that God, by whatever name you choose to call it, Christ, presence, Buddha, nature, Allah, the infinite spirit, life, whatever you choose to call it, is at the center of each and every single person. And that it is unfolding itself right now. And that expresses itself as the evolution of humanity. That is expressing itself now. And so we hold our faith and our vision to that truth. And for this, I am grateful. And so I release this prayer into the creative womb of the universe, knowing that it is unfolding itself all around us right now, simply because we have opened ourselves to it, for it has always been present, and it has always been the truth. And today, as we open ourselves to it, it flows forward to a greater degree and in a greater way. And so I release this prayer in gratitude, and I say, and so it is.
It's now time for our affirmation. There we go. If you would join me as we read this together. I witness the sacred within everyone. I live from a consciousness of oneness. I am a space for healing and wholeness and coming home. And so it is.
Couple of invitations for you as a way to participate in this community. And one is we are having our annual meeting, which is coming up on March 12th. We're doing it on a Saturday morning on Zoom. So we will be looking at our financials from last year and approving a budget for this year and talking about what kinds of things we want to do this year. We're talking about doing fundraisers again, and we're talking about doing a concert in the fall, and would love to hear what you guys want to do and if there's classes you want to take or projects you want to participate in. Love to have your input. So join us. The Zoom number is on your handout right there. Our Sunday talks are available on our website. Invite you to share them with your friends. The Robbins family, who comes and sings with us, they're putting on a half-day retreat on March 19th. It's called A Healing Experience. Shift your energy, shift your life. The website is on here. You can go and it'll tell you all about what it is they're doing, and you can sign up there if that's something you're interested. And Chris Braunschweiger, who works for a school in the Valley, is doing collecting, would you say, gently used shoes for Souls for Souls. What they do is they distribute shoes to people in other countries who are experiencing lack of money, distribute shoes to them, as well as people learn how to be shoemakers or shoe repair using those shoes. So we will not be here next week. That's something else I needed to tell you. They're having their bridal fair here next week. So we will be on Zoom. We will send out an email. If you're not on our email list, will you give Ray your email address? Ray, the sound guy back there, he'll make sure you get on it. There will be a note that goes out that has the Zoom link on it. So we'll be on Zoom next week, and the next week we'll be here again. So the week after next, bring shoes if you didn't bring them today, and Chris will take them to her school, and they collect hundreds and hundreds of pairs of shoes. And since